Healthy Alternatives. Both research and real-life experiences are making it clear every day that our traditional medical system and practices need to be rethought, revised, and recharged in light of a more holistic approach to health. Dr. Jerry V. Teplitz, host of Healthy Alternatives, has been a pioneer for 36 years in stress management and optimum health. With a Ph.D. in holistic health sciences, a law degree, and as the author of 8 books, all focused on health, stress management, and performance, Dr. Teplitz is uniquely qualified to help us explore and incorporate healthy alternatives into our daily lives. He is a professional speaker and has shared his wisdom with over 1 million people. Join him to reach your highest level of health and wellness. Now, here's Dr. Teplitz.
Welcome to Healthy Alternatives. My name is Dr. Jerry Teplitz, and you're listening to WebTalkRadio.net. What Healthy Alternatives is about is most of us really want to reach optimal levels of health, optimal levels of well-being. We want to feel better, live longer, and enjoy life even more. And that's what I attempt to bring you in each of the shows on Healthy Alternatives. My guest today, who I'm going to be introducing in a few minutes, is going to be Donna Eden. Donna is a spokesperson for energy medicine. Tens of thousands of people from all over the world have learned how to reclaim their natural healing abilities from her classes and her workshops. She's the best-selling author of Energy Medicine that she co-authored with her husband, Dr. David Feinstein. And it's been translated into 15 languages. It won the U.S. Book News Book of the Year Award in the self-help category. And we're going to be talking to Donna in just a few minutes. Now, every week, I like to begin the show by talking about an issue or concern you should know about because it can have a real impact on you. And this week, I want to talk about fluoride. Now, there's a part of the Environmental Protection Agency called the National Health and Environmental Effects Research Laboratory. They have classified fluoride as a chemical having substantial evidence of developmental neurotoxicity. There have been 24 studies that have now reported an association between fluoride exposure and reduced IQ in children. 3 studies have reported an association between fluoride exposure and impaired neural behavior development. 3 other studies have reported damage to the brain of aborted fetuses that occurred in high fluoride areas. And there have been over 100 laboratory studies done on animals that were exposed to fluoride reporting damage to the brain and cognitive function. So this part of the EPA is saying we've got a real problem there. Well, there's another part of the EPA that is involved with water standards, and they're called the Office of Water. Problem is, that office has been saying that there are no problems with fluoride in the water. As a matter of fact, they have been tending to ignore the research that's out there, finding all of these difficulties. As a matter of fact, at least 16 studies of the ones done on animals showed that fluoride has an effect upon the hippocampus of the brain, and 9 of these have been published since NRC, that group within EPA, did a 2006 review. And the damage to this area of the brain usually results in difficulties in forming new memories and recalling events that occurred prior to the damage. So we've got a problem out there in that we've got 2 divergent views coming out of the EPA, and my bet is we better bet on the research one. It's now up to the administrator of the EPA to decide which view has more credibility, and I hope she errs on the error of concern about the safety of our children with reducing the exposure dramatically and eliminating it to fluoride, especially in the water. If you want to know more about me, Dr. Jerry Teplitz, you can click on the globe on this page, or you can go to teplitz.com, T-E-P-L-I-T-Z.com, and you can follow me on Twitter and Facebook. I do a monthly e-newsletter that you can learn more about at teplitz.com. It's free. It goes into information I don't usually talk about on Healthy Alternatives. You'll see the Home About button. Click there and you'll be able to sign up there for it. On webtalkradio.net, you'll also see a link at the top of my page that says Jerry Recommends. So these are where I'm going to be listing, and I've already started listing a Dr. William Habelitz there, of recommendations that I have that you might want to take a closer look at. Now, every week I like to talk to you about a healthy breakthrough. It's new discoveries, the latest information about healthier alternatives you can use for yourself, your family, and your loved ones. What I want to talk to you about today is people who are in what is known as a vegetative state. That's somebody who's had an accident, an illness. They're unresponsive to wakefulness. Even though they may follow a normal wake-sleep cycle, they can breathe without a system, they can do things like swallowing, grunting, fidgeting, but they have no awareness of their environment and can't respond to commands. Now, this area is really starting to change, and let me give you an example of one patient had spent a month in the hospital, and the doctors had discharged him as being vegetative. But his family noticed that sometimes he would laugh with family members. So they did a reappraisal by taking him to Dr. Stephen Lawrence. He's head of Coma Science Group at the University of Liège in Belgium. And this is one of the few centers in the world that actually studies vegetative patients. Dr. Lawrence asked the family if they could make the husband, who was in the vegetative state, cry. The wife leaned over him and said, "Will you cry with me?" And the patient's face began to contort and he started crying. Now, that means that what had been labeled vegetative actually is a state of minimal consciousness. And they found in some research that's been done by those folks in Belgium and some U.S. experts in 2009, they found that about 40% of the patients diagnosed as vegetative are actually conscious, and they fall into this category of minimal conscious. Now, in this year's November issue of Lancet, they studied 16 patients diagnosed as vegetative. They hooked them up to an EEG, electroencephalogram, and asked them to imagine squeezing their right hand and wiggling their toes on command. Three of the subjects imagined it well. See, each year in the U.S., at least 14,000 victims of brain damage are diagnosed as vegetative. If this 40% misdiagnosis figure holds, then about 5,600 people are in better shape than their records are showing. One of the difficulties in diagnosing these people is that their consciousness may be flickering on or off. So one doctor goes there and checks them on responsiveness and gets zero, but a different doctor at a different time can actually get a response. There's now been an improvement in diagnosis accuracy by using what's called a bedside assessment called the Comer Recovery Scale. What makes this different, it requires each of the tests to be repeated multiple times for allowing for this fluctuation in the patient being aware. They also have a part of this CRS test is where they move a mirror in front of the patient's face rather than a finger or a pen that most neurologists tend to use. And they've discovered that the patients will respond powerfully to their own image. They may not respond to anything else, but they will respond to their own image if they have this level of minimal consciousness. And again, it may come and go out, but it will show up there in their eyes. And so one of the recommendations for every doc in an emergency room to carry a mirror in their pocket, because they would be able to immediately and significantly reduce the misdiagnosis rate of the vegetative state. One of the other problems with diagnosing this is that it may take several months for the vegetative patient to move into this minimal consciousness. Because in the first few months of recovery, the brain can be in a very quiet, quote-unquote, vegetative state because it's repairing the damage. All its energy is going into fixing the wound that it suffered, and later it tends to move into this level of awareness. Doctors are also now able to use PET scans and EKGs to actually determine that there are three sections of the brain that are involved with consciousness: the prefrontal cortex, a section of the parietal cortex, and the thalamus. And destroy one of those, consciousness stops. And in a journal called Neuroimagery, they found that 25 patients with disorders of consciousness, when they used MRIs, they were able to differentiate those who were vegetative versus those who were minimally conscious with 95% accuracy. Using a PET scan, they were actually able to get up to 100% accuracy. So these patients who are locked in, are they happy or are they not? Dr. Lore surveyed 168 locked-in patients and found that while a minority, 7%, reported life as miserable and were lobbying to be euthanized, the vast majority said they were happy despite their conditions. So judge ye not these patients. Hopefully medicine will start adopting this standard of testing called CRS to determine that you may have somebody with minimal consciousness. Before I bring on my guest, Donna Eden, I'd like to pause for this message.
Every one of us is under stress from work, family, the economy, layoffs, the inability to retire. These are the realities today. Even if you're doing okay, we all have friends and relatives experiencing hard times. Hey, just watching the news can make you nervous. Make no mistake, there's nothing benign about stress. It can lead to high blood pressure, digestive problems, difficulty concentrating, and increased risk of disease. That's why Dr. Jerry Teplitz wrote the book Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. He presents easy, effective techniques to reduce stress, eliminate pain, relieve insomnia, and gain an overall sense of well-being. Managing Your Stress is fully illustrated and provides hands-on, proven methods you can use immediately. Dr. Teplitz knows how to cut to the chase. He begins working with you from the very first page of Managing Your Stress in Difficult Times, Succeeding in Times of Change. Click on the cover that you see on the WebTalkRadio.net page in front of you and buy it now. It comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee, and it will change your life.
My guest today is Donna Eden. Donna is among the world's most sought, most joyous, and most authoritative persons on energy medicine, and you're going to understand that by the end of the show. She's able to accurately determine the energetic causes of physical and psychological problems and to devise highly effective interventions using this concept of energy medicine, and she's developed a system for teaching others how to do it. And as a matter of fact, tens of thousands of people from all over the world have learned how to reclaim their natural healing abilities in her classes and her workshop. She's the best-selling author of the book Energy Medicine that she co-authored with her husband, David Feinstein, PhD, and it's been translated into 15 languages. It won the U.S. Book News Book Award of the Year in the self-help category, and the sequel, Energy Medicine for Women, was the U.S. Book News 2008 Book of the Year as well in the women's category. Donna, welcome to Healthy Alternatives.
Oh, thank you. It's great to be here.
So tell us how you got involved with energy medicine to begin with, and also what you would define as energy medicine.
Okay. Well, I was very ill. I guess I was ill most of my life with different things. I had tuberculosis as a little tiny girl, and I had a very high fever in that first week of life, so I burned off my ability to make some enzymes. So very early on, I started being allergic to foods. And then by the time I was 16, I had multiple sclerosis. And then getting more and more allergic to things. By the time I was 27, I had a major heart attack. By 29, my multiple sclerosis was so bad that everything buzzed all over my body. I would periodically have spells where I couldn't move for about 12 hours. About once a week, I would just blank out. And then I wasn't walking in those last 2 years. And when I had five different specialists tell me that all my organs were breaking down and there was no cure, I thought, well, oh, no, I've got to heal myself. I'll just have to not go this route through Western medicine. And I began working with my own energies to get myself well. And I found the beginning was just placing one hand on my knee and one hand up towards the top of my leg, and I would notice that it would take about 3 minutes for the energy would connect, and I could feel a buzz and see a buzz, and I could get energy to go through the top of my leg so that I could stand and walk a bit. And that was the beginning. And then I went off to Fiji, where I worked with some shamans in Fiji and got myself healthier. And the next step was coming back, knowing that this was my life also, and that I went to Touch for Health to learn how to energy test so I could show people what it was I was seeing in energy. And I got myself very well. I'm not allergic to a single thing now, but I was allergic to everything except for red meat at my worst. And again, I was supposed to have died about 30 years ago, and now I'm healthier than I've ever been in my life.
So since this was, what year was this that you started your journey?
In about 1970, well, to get well was about 1971.
So that was really early on. It was even before I got involved with, well, that was the year I started getting involved too. But because energy medicine wasn't known then, or alternative healing wasn't known even as a term then, what pushed you to say, I've got to explore this, that there's something, and to go to shaman?
Oh, when I got well, and I wasn't supposed to be well, I wanted to share it with everybody under the sun. And people started coming to me who had, first of all, who had multiple sclerosis, and then autoimmune illnesses. And there was nothing else I wanted to do with my life. It's like I knew it was my mission to give people the tools to help themselves. And I really am very passionate about this, for people to be empowered in the whole world. And we really need it so desperately now because, first of all, most people cannot even afford to be healed, you know, financially. They don't have the means. But if they can start helping their own bodies get healthier and healthier through energy techniques, and energy is, by the way, all there is. I mean, Einstein said it over 100 years ago, that we are energy. There is nothing else. And so before any other kind of medicine, whether it be your nutrition or Western medicine, pharmaceuticals, whatever it is, I mean, everything is comprised of energy. So fix it on an energy level and everything begins to shift.
You mentioned about people not being able to afford it. As a matter of fact, I think one of the biggest reasons people go bankrupt nowadays is because of healthcare costs, the bills that they have to confront that they can't afford.
Absolutely.
And so what now is energy medicine more than just focusing on illnesses from your standpoint?
Oh, gosh, no. First of all, again, energy is everything. So years ago, before my books came out, I did volunteer work in school systems and especially worked with learning handicapped kids or kids who were in special classes. And without exception, you would see kids start being able to learn or figure things out or everything when you straightened out the energy pathways, because energy just gets scrambled and people think it's just up in their heads that they can't learn or they're not smart in this or that. But it's not true. Get that energy shifting and moving, and everything changes. Kids get smart in school. And I, many, many years ago, I worked in Australia. And in that school district, there were, I mean, they made it mandatory in one school district that that you had to do these energy techniques because they found that in their own research that everybody got smarter in all the classes, and kids who maybe were very smart already, they strengthened in other ways. Maybe their attitudes got better, or they weren't having to be out of classroom as much from illnesses, or just everybody improved in one way or another, and so did the teachers. Because if a teacher's energies are scrambled, they're going to scramble the students.
It's called, you have an omelet in front of you instead of a beautiful cake.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. That's it.
Now, can you share one of these energy exercises that, say, somebody could do at home that will improve their energy?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. And I will say really quick that I teach a 5-minute routine that that comprises 7 different exercises, but I'll give you one. And if you do them once or twice a day, the 5 minutes, that's all you have to take, you will start building your own energy systems so that you get in alignment with the way the energies are flowing in your body, and the energies in your body start getting in alignment with you, and you're better able to fend off any of the environmental toxins that could zap your energies and interfere with your body's ability to heal. So what I'm going to show is something so simple, but okay, first I'll explain it. We have an energy that goes straight up the body from the trunk of our body called central meridian or the conception vessel, and up the back of the body governing that goes up your spine.
Let me interrupt for a second, yes. Donna. Just for listeners who may not be aware, what she's talking about are from acupuncture concepts, there are different energy pathways that when they stick a needle in, it's actually a pathway line that they're looking to stimulate. She's talking about two, one running up the front of the body and one running up the back of the body from the like the kind of the bottom of the torso up to the pretty much the head area. So go ahead, Donna.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, when those two energies connect together, they connect at the back of the throat. And when they connect, everything works better because these two energy meridians that are both also considered strange flows, which are sort of predate meridians, they're just energies that will go where they're needed. Once they connect, they become one of these strange flows that can go around your body in any direction, and they empower and strengthen every energy system in your body. And most people in the Western world tend to stop at their mind because we are a culture that is very addicted to figuring things out with our minds, you know, and we're smart people, but we have not learned about our energy systems. Well, when it stops at your mind, it doesn't go over your nose, over your top lip, and then it doesn't go into the back of your throat and connect up with that energy that comes up. When it doesn't, you are more vulnerable. You're more vulnerable to letting your mind get foggy, or more vulnerable to being able to fend off any environmental toxins or somebody who's thrown your energy off. You are more vulnerable. So if you put one finger, I tend to put my middle finger in my belly button. Okay.
And okay. Hold on. Listeners, okay. Join Donna and me right now.
Middle okay.
Yes. Doesn't matter what you have, Donna.
One finger in your belly button and pull your belly button up as high so that there's a stretch on the energy below your belly button. And then with your other hand, put your middle finger on your third eye or your thumb, whichever feels better, and push that one up. Pull both up. And for some people, they will notice it makes them breathe deep. If it doesn't make you breathe deep, breathe on your own. Take a couple, two or three really deep breaths there, and it will hook that energy up at the back of your throat. And it will make it, in fact, if you were energy tested or muscle tested before and after, you would find many things are strong now that were weak before.
Pretty cool. How long do they hold it, Donna?
Just about the length of two or three deep breaths.
Great. Okay, so that means listeners, you can release.
Yes, release now. But some people who really needed it a lot, you'll feel it. You'll know. You say, whoa, I kind of feel like one of the things that's great about both touch for health techniques and energy medicine techniques, brain gym, all those things will start holding on their own. They become habitual in your body. And unless you get really stressed, you don't need them as much. But I don't get out of bed in the morning without hooking myself up. That's what I call hooking myself up, because it makes everything work. And suddenly you're ready to hop out of bed with energy.
So what I habitually do at this point is remind our listeners that you're listening to Healthy Alternatives with Dr. Jerry Teplitz on webtalkradio.net. And we'll be back with my guest, Donna Eden, in just a moment.
Anyone who has migraines knows that they are almost totally debilitating and hard, if not impossible, to treat. Or should we say they were impossible to treat? Dr. Jerry Teplitz's DVD, Instant Headache and Migraine Relief, delivers on its promise with a 5-minute migraine cure and a 90-second headache treatment. Learn this natural way to get rid of your migraine with the 2,000-year-old Japanese technique of shiatsu, a pressure point method that's simple and immediately effective. The Instant Headache and Migraine Relief DVD also features bonus techniques for treating sore throats, stiff necks, and shoulder pain. No pills, no herbs, no waiting, just relief. Jack Canfield, co-author of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, learned these techniques from Dr. Teplitz and says, these techniques are so practical, so powerful, so simple. They've done it for me and my family. They can do it for you too. Click on the DVD cover on the page in front of you for more information. Instant Headache and Migraine Relief comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee. There's no reason to wait. Click on it now.
So my guest today is Donna Eden. She is one of the world's most sought, most joyous, and most authoritative experts on energy medicine. She's able to accurately determine the energetic causes of physical, psychological problems, and to devise highly effective interventions. We just did a little demonstration of one of the ways of energizing in the last segment. Her best-selling book is Energy Medicine. She co-authored with her husband, David Feinstein, PhD. It's been translated into 15 languages. It won the U.S. Book News Book of the Year Award in the self-help category, and her sequel to that, Energy Medicine for Women, won that award also for in the women's health category in 2008. And if you want to learn more about what Donna does in her books and materials, you can go to learnenergymedicine.com, energymedicine.com. Now, let's make this personal, Donna.
Okay.
Your daughter, within the last week or two, because we had to delay this interview, actually got ill. And tell us what happened and what you did about it and what's happened since then.
Okay. Well, I would like to say it started 2.5 years ago. She took fertility treatments to have a baby, and they overdosed her with hormones, and she got something called ovarian hyperstimulation response, and it nearly killed her. I mean, we were told then she would never live, and she was 6 weeks in the ICU, but they could do very little because they could only follow her. So I lived in that hospital. It blew up her ovaries, blew up her uterus. She had one huge blood clot throughout her entire body. Her blood wouldn't flow. And what I would like to say to anybody who does know meridians, what helped the blood flow was none of the things that they wanted to offer. It only made her sicker. And sometimes, you know, pharmaceutical medicines can interfere with the body's ability to heal. And they did. So when I sedated spleen meridian, suddenly her blood would start to flow. And, I'm just going to bring it up to here. So she got out of the hospital.
Hold on a second. Just so listeners are aware, what Donna's saying is the spleen is another line that runs through the body. And sedating it means she turned it off, in effect. Correct, Donna?
Yes. I calmed it. I really calmed it so that it wasn't, because the spleen meridian has a lot to do with red blood cells and all of that. And so when I calmed it, and I calmed triple warmer, which is another meridian that deals with the fight or flight response, those two started letting her blood begin to flow again. Now, I will jump forward. We got her out of the extreme danger, but what happened is that her uterus became hard like a boulder. And so she got into trouble in these last weeks again after thinking she was okay. She simply did not want to give up having a baby. And so now they couldn't turn off the bleeding. And she also had the blood clots because the doctor gave her hormones to try to stop the bleeding. And what it did is it created the blood clots again. So I went through the very same process. And it's like, on the one hand, I thought it was all over. But on the other hand, her body stayed. She passed 3 blood clots through her heart and through her lungs. And they, once again, they said, she's not going to make it. And we had to bring in all the family. And one more time, we did the same thing. And this time I'm staying with her until I know she's through that completely. And that it's nothing is undone, you know? And so I had 2 doctors in that process who were trying to help her, who are now going to take classes in energy medicine because they got to the end of what they could do and it just sort of blew them away. And that will happen often with doctors who are really, really conscious doctors get it, that there's only so much Western medicine can do.
See, to me, your story is really putting you on the line to have, you know, your daughter be the one that you've got to step forward on because medicine is failing her.
Medicine is failing her. It's the scariest thing on earth. You've really got to find a way to both. I mean, you're going to be so immersed with your daughter, and then you've got to somehow separate enough to be able to get what's going on here and what do you do. And I want to say this really clear. Energy is the life force. It is an astounding, mind-blowing intelligence that already knows how to heal you and fuel you and restore you and repair you. And if you start listening, you know, via muscle testing or energy testing or just your own intuitive awareness, you start knowing what to do. And I'd give anything in this world to turn everybody on to something that deals with energy as the healing modality, because it is the body's best medicine.
Now, can somebody really be learning you have the ability, for example, to see and feel energy. We haven't really talked about that, but I know that that you're able to do that. For somebody who doesn't have these kinds of abilities, will reading your book really assist them in starting to develop that for themselves?
Absolutely. I mean, that book is very user-friendly, and I was wanting to give a book, give the information to people who don't even know that energy exists. You know, it's like I wanted to turn people on, and people, we get emails, hundreds of emails from people who've never taken a class yet, who don't have any other way of knowing and have contacted us about what they were able to do in their own body and how they were able to help themselves or often heal themselves. Recently, somebody emailed us and said, go on to the cystic fibrosis website and blogs, and see what they're saying. And we went on, and these were people who've never taken classes, but had figured things out in the book Energy Medicine of how to help themselves. They were all double lung transplant patients. Can you imagine? And they were telling each other how to help each other. And that's what I would like to see all around the world, you know, how people can assist their immune systems, assist an organ that's failing, assist, because this is what we have to do in the future. I would like to say something really fast, and that is, it takes a long time to evolve, but energy medicine, any modality that works with energy, begins to assist the body to evolve faster. And we really have to participate in our own healing in order to be in alignment with our energies and adapt to the environment we live in now. I mean, we're not going to go backwards. So we've got to prime that evolutionary pump and adapt. And that's what I think energy medicine and all forms of energy healing does. And yes, you can do it. You can find out how to help yourself or help some member of your family.
Now, do you view energy medicine as replacing conventional Western medicine, or is there a blending of the two that you see?
Wow, that's a very good question. I see it both. In many, many ways, it replaces, and in many, many ways, it's a partner with. There are times that you can partner, like MD Anderson Cancer Clinic in Orlando, Florida. They have found that energy medicine so helps their cancer patients that they have an entire department now of somebody who was trained with me, and she does many of the things. She does two different techniques while people are getting chemotherapy or radiation. She has people trained to do certain things so that many times women don't lose their hair, they don't have nausea through their treatments, and so it works with. I think that many times, like, I think that autoimmune illnesses, there is nothing better in this world than energy medicine or modalities that work with energy, because autoimmune illnesses are simply mean that your energies have gotten so confused by all these other energies that are man-made now that they're so confused that they turn against the body. Well, our body wasn't meant to do that, but we don't know how to turn that around. Well, there are ways you could turn that around so that you don't have any of the autoimmune illnesses. And so this is the best stuff. And you don't, and Western medicine will tell you, if you really come out and ask them, they'll say, we don't have a way to deal with this. We can give you something to stop it. But those things that stop it end up interfering, because in the long run, it's one more thing the body has to fight.
Now, how do you get people over that? It's so much easier to pop a pill than to do any other things that take a little bit more time and effort. How do you get people over that?
Yeah, I mean, it is. That is such a habit in our culture. But I think that's why I think until the day I die, I'm going to be teaching, because I want to show people. I want to energy test what that pill will do for you and what it won't do for you, and how it will, in the long run, be just one more thing that your body has to fight, because we didn't evolve with these medicines. And, you know, when I watch television and I see all of the side effects they start talking about the different medicines we'll have, I just am amazed that people are still willing to take them.
Well, that's because they have a happy scene showing behind it.
Yes. Yeah, I think
so,
that's
it looks
correct.
Delightful, even though you may die. You may get.
Yes, yes, yes.
And whatever.
Yes, it's just, it is amazing, but we have to shift. You know, even Mehmet Oz has said many times on his program that energy medicine is the next frontier in medicine. And it is. It's like, I never did understand why Western medicine didn't listen to Einstein, you know, that energy was all there was. And that, so I think, I don't think that there is any alternative. I think that it is simply on our path now, because I mean, there are many, many, many doctors now come to classes, and my hat's off to them. I'm humbled by people who already have a profession that they are making good livings at, but they want to understand more. What is, you know, why aren't they healing? Or, you know, it's more than just taking an organ out or giving a medicine. And the number three the number three illness, they say right now, but in Western medicine magazines is, what is it called? Iatrogenic illnesses.
Yeah,
illnesses caused.
Doctor-caused.
Yeah, doctor-caused or pharmaceutical-caused. And in on one medicine said it's now becoming the number one illness. So people have got to wake up, and that information has got to be out there very big for people to understand. And again, if you want to live a long life where you're happy and healthy and you've got vitality, you can't go the pharmaceutical route. You can't. And I know that there are times, by the way, that somebody stays alive because of a medicine. And in that instance, I think it's really important to help your body know how to adapt to it so that the rest of your body stays healthy and you don't have side effects. And that's something that I also teach. And I love people to learn this because I get a lot of people who are, you know, sugar diabetic and maybe have been most of their life and they're on shots and how to make your body very, very healthy. And I've had people also step back so you're not on as many shots, or I've known people who get off of shots. It just depends on their body and what their body will do, because we're all so individual. And I'm passionate about this.
In case anybody can't tell, just listen to Tanana's voice. Those of you who would now like to take another shot at looking at a different direction, you can simply go to Donna Eden's website, learnenergymedicine.com. That's learnenergymedicine.com. Donna, thank you for being a guest on Healthy Alternatives.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Next week, my guest is going to be Doris Gallen. Doris is a baby boomer who she's been on 7 continents, 50-plus countries. She's been fulfilling the dream of many baby boomers, especially before the recession, to quit the rat race at age 46 and pursue traveling and writing. She took her first trip, was a 2-year trip around the world that ended up being a 5-year journey. So she shares information about travel services, how to plan this, how to have this kind of grand voyage in her book, The Boomer's Guide to Going Abroad to Travel, Life, Give, Learn. She's become a regular speaker at the annual conference of the Education Travel Community. And she's in an upcoming book, 65 Things to Do When You Retire, where she's written with such luminaries as Gloria Steinem, John Nelson, Mark Miller. And she also has a series of 10 travel tip booklets that advise you as to how to more effectively travel. This is going to be a fun, healthy alternatives. You're not going to want to miss this one. This is Dr. Jerry Teplitz. You can find out more about me at teplitz.com, or you can follow me on Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for being with us today for Healthy Alternatives. For more information about Dr. Teplitz and his availability for speaking engagements, please click on the globe on the webtalkradio.net page in front of you, or go to teplitz.com. You may also follow him on Facebook and Twitter by using the icons on the page. To find out more about his books, please click on any of the book covers you see. Eat well, rest well, take a breath, get some exercise, and we'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Healthy Alternatives.